your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Just win.
Your team
just
every
win.
Day.
Just win.
The autumn wind is a raider. Pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
What's up, Raider Nation? Welcome into Monday's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast, September 28th, 2020. Got your boy Q here with you as always. And as always, you can find me on Twitter at your boy Q254. And of course, the Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. I like to put that in your ear hole as much as possible. 707-654-4693. And it's a Monday. It is not a victory Monday, as the Raiders did lose the first game of the season now, 36-20 against the Patriots, moving their overall record to 2-1 on the young season. And we'll do a deep dive into this game in a hot minute. But first, got to tell you about the title sponsor of today's show, and that is Pepsi. Help support your local businesses, whether they're your corner stores, coffee spots, favorite shops. Local businesses have always been on your team, supporting you and your community. But right now, more than ever, local businesses need our support. So let's be there for them. The next time you go shopping, to make the choice to shop at a local business, and look for the contactless symbol and tap to pay with contactless Visa to help support your community, because where and how you shop absolutely matters. Visa, everywhere you want to be, and is an official partner of the NFL. Now, getting up into today's show, coming up in segment number three, your thoughts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. That could either be a text or a call. It is all good. Got that coming up. Also got a tweet. And like I said before, you could always tweet me at your boy Q254 if you want to send me a direct message. Not going to guarantee that it's going to get on right away, but I will definitely try to get a tweet or two on to the show as well. So at your boy Q254 is the way to hit me up. So that's coming up in segment number three. In segment number two, just going to kind of go through the whole game, you know, the good, the bad, the ugly. I know a lot of people are upset by the way the Raiders lost that game on Sunday against the Patriots and falling 36-20, especially, you know, the defense, looking at the defense and how many yards they gave up rushing. But I think that there was a lot of different takeaways from the game. I think there was some good. I think that there was definitely some bad, and there was absolutely some ugly, but it wasn't all just doom and gloom. So we'll get into that coming up in segment number two. Here in segment number one, just kind of go over the game real quickly. Let you hear from John Gruden. He had a little something to say after the game, a little post-game media session. Not going to be a whole lot of it, just probably three or four little quotes from him. And go over some of the numbers. I like to call it news and notes. Kind of go over some of the numbers in the game as the Raiders lost to the Patriots 36-20, dropping their overall record to 2-1 on the season as they prepare for a home game versus the Buffalo Bills on Sunday. So let's get into a little bit of the game, as the Raiders did drop 36-20 to the Patriots, and the score was kind of a crazy-looking score because Derek Carr did pick up a garbage-time touchdown late. Derek Carr was 24 for 32, 261 yards on the day, and those two touchdowns, one to Hunter Renfrow, and like I mentioned, that was a garbage-time touchdown. Josh Jacobs never was really able to get the run game going too much. They weren't able to feed him as much as I'd like them to have fed him. He only had 16 carries for 71 yards. You could tell he's not 100% healthy. He was limited in practice Actually, he didn't practice most of the week leading up to the game, and was out there giving it his all anyway. Still came up with 71 tough yards on the ground, but just wasn't able to really get things going the way that Josh Jacobs would like to. He started off the game really strong. First couple runs, it's like, okay, it's going to be one of these big days for Josh Jacobs, but ultimately the Patriots were able to slow him down a little bit, and then the Raiders got in a bad position where they weren't able to feed him like they would. Hunter Renfrow was the leading receiver for the Raiders, 6 catches, 84 yards, and that one touchdown again late in the game. This is one of the stats right here that stands out to me in a major way that shows why the Raiders lost the game, especially by the way that they lost it. The Patriots, time of possession, 34 minutes, almost 35 minutes, and the Raiders only 25 minutes of total possession. And if you go back to the New Orleans game on Monday Night Football at Allegiant Stadium, it was exactly the opposite. The Raiders had the time of possession that was 35, 36 minutes, and the Saints only had about 24. So when you do that and you're not getting touchdowns, you're not getting in the end zone on a regular basis, you're not going to win too many games. So that was just part of it. It's not the whole story, but it's part of it. Another part of the story, Raiders, 3 turnovers plus a missed field goal, which is just like a turnover. That's 4 turnovers. You know what I mean? You just can't do that. And I know someone right now is saying, yeah, but that Josh Jacobs fumble wasn't really a fumble. You're right. It wasn't. It was a fumble. He recovered it. And unfortunately for the Raiders, the officials didn't see it that way. Review didn't see it that way. So it goes down as a turnover. And ultimately, it stopped the Raiders from getting points on the board. Third down efficiency, terrible. 3 for 9. You know, that's something that the Raiders have been really good at. But the reason why they were really bad at it on Sunday is because it was always third and long. It was never third and two, third and three. It was always third and six, third and seven, third and eight, third and nine. That when you get behind the chains in this kind of an offense, this kind of John Gruden offense, you're not going to be picking up a whole lot of third downs. Now, I will say, on the flip side of that, the Patriots weren't that good on third down either. They were 3 for 11, so they were worse than the Raiders on third down. But either way, they still were able to find ways to get it done and come back. And like I said, that time of possession, being able to run the ball as well as they did, that was a major reason why. Penalties, something we've been talking about for the first couple weeks of the season. The Raiders have done really good against the, you know, against having a bunch of penalties. They've only had 6, matter of fact, leading up to the Patriots game all season long. Well, on Sunday, they had 6 penalties for 40 yards. And still, that's not real bad. For the Raiders, because usually they'll have 10 and almost 100 yards. Most of the time, they'll have close to 100 yards worth of penalties. Still only 40 yards worth of penalties, so it still shows that it's cleaned up. But they only had 6 total penalties in the first 2 games. So, I mean, that lets you know that's another area of concern right there. So, that was just kind of the numbers. That was a quick glance at the game just by way of the numbers. Obviously, going to break down the game where I thought it was won and lost in segment number 2 coming up. But just wanted to kind of go over the numbers real quick. And also, wanted you to hear a little bit from John Gruden, what he had to say following the game. So one of the things that I talked about on Friday's keys to winning the game was the fact that the Patriots, Bill Belichick and company, were going to go out of their way to take the Raiders' best weapon out of the game. And I really believe still believe even after the game, the Raiders' best weapon is the run game. The run game in that offensive line. But we all know Darren Waller's the big play guy. So the Patriots decided they were going to take him completely out of the game. And he didn't even get his first catch until garbage time late in the fourth quarter. So John Gruden was asked after the game, you know, about what the Patriots did to take Waller out of the game. Here's John Gruden's thoughts on that.
No, we have a lot of good receivers. We didn't come in here today to target Waller every play. Credit New England. They had a nice game plan. They got pressure on our quarterback a few times. We had Waller open. The film is out there for everybody to look at, but New England did a nice job. They did a better job than we did today.
It clearly was no surprise. I mean, if I knew it and you knew it, everyone else knew it, all Raider Nation knew it, John Gruden and company knew that Darren Waller was going to really struggle to get his production on Sunday just because the Patriots were going to do everything they can to really take him out of the game, so others had to step up. And others did step up. You know, I thought Hunter Renfrow did really well. I thought the offensive line at times did really well. Denzel Good kind of showed that he's a guard, why he's a guard and not a tackle. And that's not a knock on him because he's still doing the best job he can filling in at that tackle position. Brian Edwards early looked good, and then he got banged up. I mean, Nelson Aguilar, to my surprise, stepped up early and looked good. I mean, there's some guys, you know, Foster Moreau. So it's not like the Raiders are only one guy and then that's it. If Darren Waller's not there or Henry Ruggs, who didn't play, wasn't there, then they can't do anything. I mean, they still got weapons. They just didn't execute as well as they should have. So another question that was asked to John Gruden, and I only got a couple more for you, and this was something that kind of stood out to me in a major way. Late in the fourth quarter, probably about midway through the fourth quarter, the Raiders were in the red zone. They were actually down by the goal line. And it was about to be a 4th and 5. And instead of going for it, which I thought they should have done, gone for it, got to get into the end zone, got to try to make it, you know, a much closer game. Instead, they kicked a field goal. So he was asked, John Gruden was asked after the game, did he second guess himself? Did he regret not going for it on third down instead of kicking the field goal?
Yeah, we made it 23-13. We pinned him back. We had him 2nd and long. We have a penalty in our secondary. No, there wasn't. It was a 2-possession game, and I don't regret it at all.
So John Gruden right there saying all the right things, saying he doesn't regret not kicking the field goal. I still think, or not going for it on fourth down, I still think it was a mistake. I really do. I just think that, yeah, 23-13, you're still within striking range, but if you get into the end zone, you give yourself a little bit of momentum, fourth down, especially with the, you know, late in the game, the defense was really getting gashed. So you need to get that game as close as possible. I think it was a mistake, but I understand he's still mathematically in the game. And the defense did step up on the first couple plays, so it looked like, hey, you know what, they are pinned back deep. Maybe they are going to get the ball right back. Ultimately, they didn't, but that goes down to me as a mistake by John Gruden, and we could talk about that more coming up in segment number 2. My final little soundbite here from John Gruden is just about the makeup of the team. You know, since they are a young team, how does he feel they'll bounce back after this loss?
Yeah, I mean, we got to get a good look at the medical report, see who's going to be able to play, but I like our team. We're a young team. It showed at times today. I wasn't perfect either. I made plenty of mistakes, but I do like the team. I like the way they hustle. I like the way they finish. We just got to play better in some key situations.
So basically he's telling you, yeah, he feels pretty good that they'll be able to bounce back. They are a young team, but he likes this team. And I do too. I really do like the makeup of the team. Obviously don't like the results from Sunday against the Patriots, but do ultimately like the makeup of the team, like the young dudes. I think they're going to be good both offensively and defensively. And, you know, should not be a surprise that the defense is struggling, especially at times. You know, in these games early on in the season. Again, I don't expect the defense to really be on the same page with each other consistently throughout the whole game till probably following the bye week. So still a couple weeks away from that. The bye week comes up after week 5's game versus the Kansas City Chiefs. And who knows how that game could go down. That game could get ugly, quick, fast, and in a hurry. But there's still another game to be played before that one as the Raiders prepare for the Bills this upcoming Sunday. So coming up in segment number 2, going to really kind of break down the game. You know, I gave you a few takes here and there throughout, you know, while I was bringing down the numbers or giving you the numbers and hearing from John Gruden. But I really kind of want to give my overall assessment of the game. And I'll do that coming up in segment number 2 of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Before I get into that, though, I got to tell you about CBDMD. Because it doesn't matter if you're a professional athlete, a stay-at-home parent, or you spend 8 hours a day in a super uncomfortable office chair, everyone needs support to make it through the day. Luckily, our great friends at CBDMD have an amazing duo that can help you relax, regroup, and recharge when life gets chaotic. And believe me, it gets chaotic. CBD Freeze with menthol is an award-winning product that offers instant cooling relief from muscles and joints in a convenient and easy-to-use roller or shareable squeeze tube. CBD Recover combines CBD with inflammation-fighting compounds like arnica and vitamin B6 to give you the support you need where it matters most. And to make it even easier to try this amazing duo of topicals and everything else CBDMD has to offer, they're offering all listeners of the Locked On Raiders podcast 25% off your next order when you use the promo code LOCKEDONNFL at checkout. Again, CBDMD.com, promo code LOCKEDONNFL for 25% off your purchase of superior CBD oil products from CBDMD.com. Segment number 2 is on the way.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we are. Segment number 2 of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Time to break down the loss. Time to break down the Raiders 36-20 loss to the New England Patriots on Sunday. And, you know, obviously the Raiders now 2-1 on the season. It's a very big disappointment. It's a game that I believe is winnable. It's a game that I believe even after it was played, it was still winnable. I think the Raiders showed that they could win in Foxborough. I believe they can beat the Patriots. They just didn't beat the Patriots on Sunday. And I know we could always say ifs, ands, and buts and all that good stuff, but I'll tell you right now, the Raiders showed that they have the goods to, again, like I said on Friday, even though I wasn't even close with the score, even though I said it on Friday wrong, incorrectly as far as the score goes, I still believe they have a puncher's chance with anyone in the league. And it was showing on Sunday, and it showed early, as a matter of fact. The Raiders' defense came out. I mean, they won the toss, and they deferred. They kicked off to the Patriots, and they did their damnedest, man. They got them on three and outs. Even Max Crosby, who jumped off sides, you know, came back and finally picked up a sack. You know, he jumped off sides, gave him another first down. I was like, oh, that's a death nail. You can't do that with the Patriots. Well, he comes back and picks up his first sack of the season. You know, his first official sack of the season. Ended up with 2 on the game. And I mentioned on Friday as well that sacks and stuff like that and turnovers, they will start to come. Well, he got 2 sacks on the day. Jonathan Abram picked off a ball on the day. I mean, there was opportunities, especially early on, that the Raiders' defense were making enough plays, bottling up the run. Sony Michel was trying to run up the gut, and, well, the Raiders weren't allowing that to happen, and so the Patriots did make a change, and they made an adjustment and got their young rookie on the outside, who's a lot faster, and, well, he was starting to gash the Raiders, but that was after, what, 4, 5, 6 possessions? I mean, the Raiders did really well defensively early, but the offense couldn't cash in. The offense couldn't complement them. Even when they got the ball back on that Jonathan Abram interception and got the ball into the red zone, they had to settle for a field goal. Those are the kind of opportunities. Like, you want to score points off turnovers, but you want to score touchdowns. You know, and it's just that's the mistake. You know, and then you have a drive where they start at the 10 and it's a 77-yard drive. They're really eating up a lot of that clock. They're doing exactly what they wanted to do, playing like they did on Monday night, and then Josh Jacobs fumbles. And even though it wasn't really an official fumble because clearly he recovered it, but the officials didn't see that, it was a fumble. And so it takes it away, you know. And then I know that they got it back on that Abram interception, but it only turned into 3 points. You know, Josh Jacobs and company, if they kept doing what they're supposed to be doing and keep driving like they were, they might have just ended up in the end zone, you know. So that's points you're leaving out there on the field. There's way too many times that the Raiders left points out there on the field. And against some teams, they can do that. Against teams like the Patriots, they're not going to be able to do that. Teams like next week's opponent, the Buffalo Bills, they're probably not going to be able to do that either because the Bills are scoring a lot of points. So when your defense is making plays for you, your offense has got to step up. And I know Henry Ruggs wasn't out there, and I know Darren Waller was really taken away by the pass defense, but Bryan Edwards was playing well. Hunter Renfrow did a good job. You saw a touchdown in the game by Foster Moreau. He was doing well. I mean, there's still guys out there. Nelson Aguilar stepped up a few times. Again, Josh Jacobs wasn't bad. He just didn't get the as many carries as I thought that he should. You know, the offensive line was showing that it was struggling. You know, Denzel Good, he's been doing a good job, you know, at playing and filling in for Trent Brown. But you can see where Trent Brown's missed. You know, he really is. And so the Patriots were able to get some pressure. You know, 3 turnovers in the game. You're hardly going to beat anybody when you turn the ball over 3 times, let alone the Patriots. You know, it's just not going to happen. And it's so funny because I saw so many people so angry about the defense. Fire Paul Gunther. It's like he is the guy on the hottest seat ever for some unknown reason. The defense struggling early is something that we've all talked about. We've all expected it. And yes, I know the Patriots ended up putting up major numbers as far as the run game goes. I get that. But look at what they had to defend. Look what the Raiders defense was trying to defend. And look what they did early on. Again, if you're on the field for as long as they were, they're going to break down. They're not going to be as crisp as they were early on in the game. But their offense didn't compliment them. I think that they did fine. You know, a lot of people were already crowning Cam Newton comeback player of the year. He didn't really do anything. He had one big run in the game. One. And that was late in the game. Pretty much sealed the deal for the Patriots. But he didn't do anything. His passing numbers weren't that great. I mean, he really, you know, you want to talk about Derek Carr and everyone gets mad, oh, he just dinks and dunks. Guess what Cam Newton did for the majority of the game? Just threw the ball to Rex Burkhead. I mean, that's basically what he did. He gave the ball to Burkhead a lot of the game, dinked and dunked. And yeah, I mean, he threw some 10, 12, 15-yard passes here and there, but Julian Edelman didn't have a monster game. So, I mean, Cam Newton didn't do a whole lot. So they did a good job with him, keeping him in the pocket so he didn't get out and scramble and make some big yards that way. But there was other elements of the game where they broke down. Trayvon Mullen, I thought he played really well. I thought he showed what he really could be as a defensive back. Damon Arnett, I mean, this dude, he's solid as far as, you know, just being tough, man. That dude has some real deal toughness. We all know he's dealing with injuries, and he's out there giving it everything he's got. To be honest, if you want to complain about the defense, look at number 24, Jonathan Abram. He had probably his worst game as an NFL player. But again, it's only his, what, fourth game? Fourth game in his career, he's going to have those moments. It's what we were talking about early in before the year even started. He's going to have ups and downs. He's played well the first 2 weeks of the season, and he took a lot of bad angles against the Patriots. You know, he just was going for some arm tackles. He just wasn't the same dude. And I know he's dealing with some injuries. He's still dealing with some injuries. Matter of fact, I saw a report, I believe, from Ian Rappaport talking about what he suffered when he got hit with that, or he ran into that TV cart on Monday Night Football. He had suffered a grade 2 AC joint sprain, and then he had a small piece of his collarbone chipping off that led to internal bleeding. That was after he crashed into the television cart. So, I mean, right there, I mean, he's out there. He's banged up. Damon Arnett is banged up. The linebackers aren't who they're supposed to be. You know, Nick Kukowski's not out there. Corey Littleton's out there doing his best. But Nicholas Morrow's not playing bad. Not at all. There was bright spots. Seeing the defensive line play with more energy. No, I know they didn't get home all the time, but Crosby getting a couple sacks. Clee Ferrell was shown a lot. He was out there, and he was making his presence felt. Arden Key, he actually showed up and batted down a ball. There was things to like. It wasn't all doom and gloom. That's basically what I'm trying to tell you. Yes, they got overmatched, and they lost the game, and that's ultimately what matters. But there were things to feel encouraged about, and I walked away from it saying, you know what? If the Raiders' offense could have complemented the defense early on in the game, you're talking about a totally different game. I think the Raiders team that you saw out there, and Tony Romo said it during the broadcast, this is not who the Raiders are. And I don't believe it is either. I think they're a much better team than what you saw on Sunday. Now, you know, like they say, like the old saying is, you are what your record is, and you are what the game says you are. I mean, that holds true. But I do believe the Raiders team is a lot better all in all. I just, you know, think that the Patriots, found a way to make a quick adjustment or a couple quick adjustments and, you know, found a way to take advantage of the Raiders, and especially their defense being out on the field for as long as they were. Daniel Carlson came back down to earth, missed a 41-yard field goal. And look, guys aren't going to be perfect all season long, so I'm not going to knock him for that. But going back to Monday night and him drilling that 54-yarder, that's why that was such a big call. That's why I was so surprised and so shocked that John Gruden called that, because I did not have a lot of faith in him making that 54-yarder. When he went out there for that 41-yarder, I felt pretty good about it. I felt really confident that he was going to hit it. And unfortunately, he hooked it. And so, again, that goes down basically as a turnover as well, and more points being left out there on the field. So, again, there was a lot of things to like, or I came away with some things that I liked. I liked a lot of things I saw early on, especially from the defense. Later on, I feel like they were just gassed. And, you know, that's when the running game of the Patriots really just took over, you know, and the offensive line started blocking downhill. And once that happened, and, you know, the funny thing is I mentioned on Friday about trying to defend Cam Newton, where the edge rushers can't get, you know, they got to stay disciplined and stay in their lanes, and they can't allow themselves to be blocked too far up the field. You know what happened on a lot of the run blocking? The run blockers were blocking the edge up the field. And so the contain was gone. There was no contain, so they weren't able to keep those guys on the inside. And even though the Raiders did a good job early on, especially with the run defense in the middle of the field, once they started getting blown up off the blocks and getting pushed out and pushed away towards the sidelines, then that's when the running game of the Patriots really stepped up in a major way. So ultimately, man, again, the Patriots, they're a really good team. Bill Belichick is a really good coach, obviously, and I know that's an understatement, but he shows why he's that guy. I felt like the Raiders had a better chance to score a lot more points, and I think that if they had gotten to a rhythm that they really never did get into offensive rhythm, they could have shown that, but they weren't able to do it. So it's a loss. The team drops to 2-1. You know, got a big game against Buffalo coming up on Sunday. But ultimately, like I said, I like what I saw from Crosby. Like what I saw from Cleve Farrell. Like that I saw the defensive line playing with more energy. Like what I saw from Trayvon Mullen. Like what I saw from Damon Arnett. The linebacking core, I still think is a lot better than it has been over the years. And I think Nicholas Morrow's playing better. Jonathan Abram had a bad game. That's going to happen. He's going to have a few more of those. But he's going to have some really bright spots as well. I don't put this loss on Carr. I don't put this loss on Josh Jacobs. Honestly, I don't even put the loss on John Gruden a whole lot. I mean, yeah, there were some calls that I didn't agree with, but like I said, the game to me never felt like it was in a good rhythm. And yeah, some of that is on the coaching staff, of course, but it's also on the players to go out there and execute. And there were some times where the players just ultimately didn't go out there and execute. 6 penalties, 40 yards. It wasn't necessarily the quantity as far as the penalties, but it was the time when the penalties came up. You know, Derek Carr had a nice little play, nice little pass to Derek Carrier that was going to set them up first and goal from like the 1 yard line, but instead Denzel Good was down the field, ineligible lineman down the field. Not his fault. It was just a play that took too long to develop. I mean, just things like that. It was like the timing of some of the penalties really hurt the Raiders, set them back in a position where they weren't able to overcome it. So they lose again 2-1, or now they're 2-1 on the regular season, and now they head back home as they prepare for the Buffalo Bills. So what are your thoughts? Your calls and your texts, and even a tweet or so is coming up in the next segment. That's straight off the Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. Before I get into that, though, I got to tell you about Built Bar. Built Bar is a protein bar that I've been telling you about for quite a while. I wasn't really a protein bar type guy, and then all of a sudden, well, Built Bar decided they wanted to advertise with the Locked On Raiders podcast, and so they sent us a box of Built Bars, and I tried them, and I thought, that's pretty good. And the reason I say it was pretty good is because, well, it was a protein bar, so it's good for you, but it tasted like a candy bar. And I'm not a big candy person, so, you know, I don't necessarily have to have it all candy flavor. But once I put the Built Bar into the refrigerator and kind of cooled it off a little bit, I thought it was just enough good taste to enjoy it. And so I started eating a bunch of the Built Bars. And that was when they just had the 12, what I like to call as OG flavors, coconut almond, German chocolate, peanut butter, double chocolate, toffee almond, coconut. Coconut actually ended up being my favorite one. Well, now they decided after they sold all those out, I mean, and they sold everything out. The whole warehouse was empty. They opened up and got 6 more flavors. So now they got caramel brownie. They got cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. So a lot of new flavors, a lot of stuff that a lot of listeners of the Locked On Raiders podcast are saying, hey, we like these new flavors, cookies and cream. It's great. Well, if you want to try it, maybe it's been, you know, in your mind, you've been thinking about it, but you want to try it, maybe I just need to give you a promo code to make you go ahead and do that. So right now, if you want to go ahead and get you a box of Built Bars, you can go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code Locked On, and you're going to get $10 off just your next order. It's not your first order. It's your next order. So if you've already ordered a bunch of boxes, you can still get it with the promo code Locked On. $10 off at BuiltBar.com. And while supplies last, they're still giving out free coolers with purchase. So it might not last too long. You might want to get your order in quick, fast, and in a hurry so you make sure you get that free cooler. But make it happen. BuiltBar.com, promo code Locked On to get $10 off your next order. Segment number three is on the way.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Here we go, Raider Nation. Segment number three of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Your time to shine, your calls, your texts, your tweets. Straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. That is the number. First up, matter of fact, let's go ahead and go with a tweet from @itsjunior_07. He said, Q, three things I noticed today, and you tell me if I'm off. One, our third down efficiency, which we are normally really good at, was off today. Two, we need a thumper. We need that big back to help Jacobs. He looks banged up and exhausted out there, and we need another pass rusher. Three, ball security again bit us early in the flags. What happened with that today? The team came out great and just couldn't get it going their way. I won't bash DC this game. Just showed what you've been saying all this time. He's not going to carry a team on his shoulders, but he played well enough to win. Again, that's a tweet from @itsjunior_07. Thank you so much for that tweet. And yeah, absolutely. Third down wasn't as good as it had been. And the reason for that is it was mainly third and long. It wasn't third and two, third and three. It was third and six, third and seven, third and nine. That's why it was off. You know, the Raiders were 3-for-11, or no, 3-for-9 on that. Excuse me. And most of those came, the two of them came late in the game. Matter of fact, the first third down that the Raiders picked up was Derek Carr on a rush. Oh, yeah, I didn't even give him credit for that in segment number two when I was saying it's not Derek Carr's fault. He was using his legs, too. He was trying to give his wide receivers time to get open while he was kind of just moving the pocket around. Then he scrambled out. You know, he scrambled out a couple times, and that was a big third down that he picked up with his legs. So I got to give DC that kind of credit. I didn't do that in segment number two, but definitely want to do that. We need a thumper. We need that big back to help Jacobs. I mean, I've been saying that for a while, but to Devontae Booker's credit, he does fine. He does fine in there, complimenting Josh Jacobs. I understand exactly what you're talking about, but I think that Booker, to my surprise, has been really good. Another pass rusher, not going to say that I told you so because that's not really my style, but I mean, that's something that we've been talking about a lot leading up to the season, that it was something that the Raiders still needed to do was address the pass rushing. With that being said, Clee Ferrell had a pretty good game. With that being said, Max Crosby had a good game. You know, I mean, there's guys that did step up. It's not enough. It's not, you know, it's just not. It's really no other way I can explain it. It's just not enough. They have now, what, 4 sacks on the season or 3.5 sacks on the season? Maybe 3. Either way, it's not enough. Simple as that. And ball security is going to, yeah, you turn the ball over a bunch of times, you're going to lose games. Thank you for getting us started. Thank you for tweeting that. Appreciate you. Next up is a call from Valley Boy Raider calling to talk about the game and what stood out to him in a major way. Here he is, Valley Boy Raider.
Hey, what's up, Q? Valley Boy Raider from 818 Time City, you know. I haven't called in a while. But, man, what a tough, since watching that game, what a tough loss, man. I mean, our defense showed up for the first quarter, had us to a point where we could have gotten up at least 14-0. The Josh Jacobs fumble, yeah, it's kind of flashback stuff rule. We recovered it, but, hey, it happened. Where were our linebackers in the second half, man? Our linebackers were getting toast all game. I mean, that's like, Gunter has to make a choice between either put in their Nassif for second and third down or keep Farrell in there for the same down because they're getting confused out there. And then also, what's up with Abrams? 4 missed tackles, 15 to get ready, 10 tackles, missed 4. And I think he has one more shot next week. And if he plays the same with his defense, it doesn't adjust, I think we're. He's gone. Scott Linehan. Well, Linehan comes in and he becomes the defensive coach. But man, this game was winnable. It was winnable in the beginning, man. It was winnable. I'm still not 100% on Carr. I think if we ever want to win a school, we either got to draft one or get a better one. I don't think he's the quarterback to win a school with. Hopefully, he proves me wrong. But right now, I'm sold on him 60%. Tony Romo said in the broadcast, throw it off for your fans. We have bigger receivers, and they do corners and safety. No, but, I mean, if you told me in the beginning of the season you're 2-1 after going to Boston, I would be happy. It's 2-1. So that's is so young, Dalla. Movement slow, a lot of injuries today. And I'll call during the week. Thank you, too. See you later.
Thank you for that call, my man. It's good to hear from you again. And, yeah, the defense, in my opinion, wasn't all bad. They started off strong, showed areas of improvement, but just were not complimented by the offense. They were on the field for almost 36 minutes. That's just about a recipe for disaster. The Raiders' D showed it's getting better, but it still has work to do. Carr, in my opinion, again, I've said it multiple times, was not the problem on Sunday. The offense just never, ever got into a rhythm. Thank you for that call. Appreciate you. Next up, I got a text, a real quick one from Jay Autumn Wynn. He said, hey Q, Jay Autumn Wynn here. Defense looked good early on. Jacobs didn't really get going. Patriots taking Waller out of the game and no Henry Ruggs. Offense has their work cut out. Defense held up until eventually it couldn't hold up anymore. Time for our guys to heal and regroup for next Sunday. I'm telling you right now, that was segment two in one quick text. That was a great way to summarize it from Jay Autumn Wynn right there. I appreciate you, and I agree with all that. I should have asked you first to go ahead and send me that text, and I could have used that for segment number two alone. But thank you. Definitely appreciate it. Next up, got a quick call from Palm Beach Raider. And before I get into it, got to sound the alarm one time. Because Palm Beach Raider, even though he tried to do it on the low and pretend like he wasn't a new booty, he is. He's absolutely a new booty. I actually went back and did some research. That's how I found out that he was a new booty, because I'm thinking, man, I ain't heard this name before. So I actually had to do some research. And that was a lot of research, but I did it. So anyway, he's calling in. It's a real quick call. He's calling in with an actual positive take on the Raiders' upcoming schedule. So here he is, Palm Beach Raider, the new booty.
Q, this is Palm Beach Raider, man, with something real quick for you. Listen, since the beginning of the year, I've been telling all my Raider friends, listen, we just need to get to 3-3 so we can have a playoff run. The beginning of our schedule is just brutal. It doesn't get any easier, but we just got to pull out either the one against the Bills or the one against the Bucks. We got to pull that out, because I don't know if we're going to have enough for KC, but if we can get one of these next three games, we're going to be 3-3. Man, the back half of the schedule, except for another Kansas City game, looks a lot of winnable games are out there. All right, boss. Take care.
Thank you so much for that call, my man. Welcome to the Locked On Raider podcast family. And I like the thought. You know, I like the thought that you have on the schedule right there. And you're right. I mean, the back end of the schedule, it's, I'm not going to say easier. That's probably the wrong word. But it's a lot more manageable than, what the Raiders have early on. Now, teams might be a lot better towards the end of the schedule. So that's something else to think about. But just looking at it on paper, you're absolutely right. I believe I had the Raiders at 3-2 going into the bye week, which is right after the Kansas City game. Matter of fact, I picked them to win that Kansas City game in Kansas City week five. I feel like this is the year that Derek Carr comes up with a big victory in Kansas City. So if that stays true, if they're 3-2 at the bye, that means that the Raiders are going to lose the Buffalo this upcoming week and then go and win in Kansas City, if you follow what I said. But you know, it is what it is. So we'll see how it all shakes out. But yeah, man, if they can get into, you know, be 3-2, 3-3, like you said, then that does put them in position to make a run towards the playoffs, something that I think that they absolutely should be doing. So thank you. Good to hear from you. I appreciate you. Next up is a text, a pretty lengthy text from Obi-Wan Raider. What's up, Q? Obi-Wan Raider here from Spring, Texas. Damn, bro. Injuries, broken coverages, poor run fits, extremely bad angles taken by the safeties, not stepping up over the past 2 weeks, really showed up today against an opponent that you must be perfect against. Defense gave up way too many yards. We have to get better on defense. O-line and Carr have to know you can't take a safety or a fumble there. He has been in the league long enough to know that situation. I wanted us to draft Chase Winovich. Mullins could have caught that tip ball, which was right above him, instead of gloating about the tackle hit. Do your job and play to the whistle. You could tell Jacobs was hurting badly. We need the rest of the team to have stepped up bigger. On to Buffalo, and time to redeem. You're giving away glory. As big as our offensive line is, though, we should have been so much better and efficient than this. Jacobs must hold on to the ball. Back-to-back weeks of poor ball security by our backs. I would not want to be on the flight home. Gru is going to go Pompeii on several asses. Shake my head. But it's only one game, Raider brethren. We will recover and win against Buffalo. Stay up, Raider Nation. One love, fam. I'm out like cake at a fat kid's party. One last point. As I said, Carr and O-line had to know, do better in that backed-up situation. But for the Carr haters, you cannot put this loss on him. We got to get healthy and execute. Six penalties, by the way, is better than usual for us. But they came at bad times, to say the least. Again, Obi-Wan Raider from Spring, Texas. Lots of stuff to kind of unpack there. And look, ultimately, I'll just kind of go back to what I said earlier. The defense played well early, and the Raiders' offense didn't compliment them. When Carr took that safety in the game, you know, or actually it was a fumble touchdown, the game was already over at that point. Just like his touchdown to Hunter Renfro, the game was already over at that point. That was garbage time. You know, there's multiple things. Like I said, I didn't like that field goal decision by Gruden. Instead of going for it on fourth down, I thought he should have done that. That was something that you could look at. You know, but it is what it is. The Raiders had opportunities, and they didn't capitalize when they had them. And then the Patriots will make you pay. They're one of those teams, like you said earlier, the one thing I'll agree with 100%, they are one of those teams that you have to play a very, very good game or they'll make you pay. So thank you so much for that. Got a quick call from Chef Raider in the 860. He's calling with a short but sweet message on how the game was lost.
Rex Burkhead, man. That's who beat us. That's who they let beat us. Rex Burkhead. Come on, bruh. Man, I can't.
I told you it was short and sweet right there from Chef Raider in the 860. Yeah, Rex Burkhead. And look, I mean, I know it's, you're kind of goofing on him, but the dude could play ball. He's been in the league for a long time for a reason. He's a member of the Patriots as well, and you just kind of know how that goes. Paul Gunther, defensive coordinator, is very familiar with him for their time together in Cincinnati. John Gruden has talked about him in glowing remarks before about how good of a football player he is. He's looking at that guy like he looks at Alec Ingold. I mean, or Alec Ingold, he looks at him as he looks at Rex Burkhead. I mean, that's just who he is, and he likes him that much. So Rex Burkhead, I know it sounds silly, but yeah. He was the guy. He was the dude for the Patriots and made them, you know, win the game. We gave him enough fuel and gave him enough points to have them win that game on Sunday versus Raiders. So that's all I got for you today. I had another call from Hillbilly Raider. I have to get that on tomorrow's show. But it's on to Buffalo. You know, we may have one more day where we kind of talk about this game and kind of break it down where it was lost, what the Raiders could have done better, some decision makers making at certain times. But after that, man, it's on to Buffalo. So, I mean, it is what it is. More news and notes will be up on tomorrow's show. More calls and texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. And, you know, have a little bit of conversation. Supposed to be on Salt Lake City, or not Salt Lake, no, Utah Radio later on today. So we'll see if that happens. I was supposed to be on it on Friday, and it didn't happen, or Thursday, and it didn't happen. So maybe I'll be on it today. We'll see. Either way, it is what it is. So thank you so much for that. Appreciate you. Well, you know, be back at it again tomorrow. So take care of yourself. Wash your hands. Keep your mask on. Do what you got to do for your family. You know, love on your family a lot. And most importantly, as always, just win, baby.